Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today we start a new series, and it's called Faith as a Rocket. I like the name. I had a name, and I started typing. God says, I don't like that name. So I says, okay, give me what you want. He says, Faith as a Rocket. Like, whoa, I got to hear this one. You know, if you had faith as a mustard seed, faith as a mustard seed, you could say to a sycamore tree, be thou uprooted and be removed, and it should obey you. But that's faith as a mustard seed. What if you had faith as a rocket? Huh? What does a rocket do? It blasts off into the wild blue yonder, right? Boy, we had faith as a rocket, and it blasted out of the slime and the despair and the depression of the world into a brand new life when we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. Woo! All things are passed away. Yeah, guilt and condemnation are gone. Whoa! We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And just for icing on the cake, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. How is that for good icing? Huh? Yes, that's faith as a rocket. But that was just the beginning. Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3 says, if you can start this walk of life by yourself, by the law, and by your own works, how can you expect to perfect yourself? How do you expect to purify yourself? How do you expect to continue this walk? Jesus is a good fisherman, right? Well, a bad fisherman jumps into the water, swims down a lake, and trying to grab the trout, and he has a knife in his hand to clean the trout. That's a bad fisherman. A good fisherman catches a fish, and then he cleans him. And Jesus caught you and me, and now he's cleaning us. He's washing us with the water of the word. Why? So he can present us to himself as a church without spot or wrinkle. No sickness, no disease, no infirmity, no wages of sin, no sins. Just us living in the will of God. Don't we all want to live in the will of God? Amen? I didn't hear everybody say amen. Don't we all want to live in the will of God?
Amen.
Amen. Isn't this the will of God?
Amen.
So don't we want to do what the Bible says?
Yes.
That's how we get washed with the water of the word. And what's going to do that? Faith like a rocket is going to move us forward from being bogged down in this carnal body that's beset with all these temptations and blast us up into church that's been washed by the water of the word. And then one day, faith as a rocket is going to blast us up into the wild blue yonder. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with him. So shall we ever be with him. Now that's pretty awesome. Especially when he said, some will say to me, Lord, didn't we do great miracles in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Preach in your name? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Is that true? But those who blast up on the rocket, faith as a rocket, in the rapture, so shall we evermore be with him. Isn't that awesome? Faith as a rocket. So we know faith as a rocket. We're taking this rocket, and it's like a whole bunch of mustard seeds put together to create a rocket, and we're going to launch that rocket. For those of you who are old enough to know the expression, we're going to press the pedal to the metal. You know what that means? Okay. Well, you know, in the olden days, when the dinosaurs used to roam, driving among the dinosaurs were these things called cars, okay? Automatic automotive devices or automobiles, right? And, you know, and then used to have a floor which was made out of metal because they didn't have all these fancy plastics and steel this and all that kind of stuff. It was made out of metal. And there's a pedal, which was metal, but usually something in it so your foot wouldn't slip off. And you press the pedal all the way down to the floor, it's actually touching metal. Today you can't do that anymore because they got carpets and rugs and settees and all these things in your car, right? In your stereo set and videos and everything is in your car, right? So today you can't literally push the pedal to the metal. But we're going to do it in the spirit. Today we want this rocket to blast off, and we want the rocket to be on full blast, right? Full blast. We want to hit the afterburners. Exactly. The afterburners. Okay. So, we're going to look at the power promises from God. We're going to see that faith is the rocket that launches you into the land of promises, also into the promised land. Understand, we're going to live in the promised land. Okay? I mean, the new Jerusalem is going to be in the promised land. And we're going to live there. So some of you might want to take a trip there to see what it's like before you get there in the millennium. Okay? But right now we're talking about the land of promises. In the land of promises, miracles, signs, and wonders are everyday occurrences. You live in them. You're so used to them, you see them as blessings, not as miracles. That's the land of promises, where the promises are manifesting every day and miracles abound around you. That's where we're going to launch into. And to do that, we need some kind of a faith action plan. You've all heard that before, right? An action plan. In other words, if this rocket is going to go up, you know, it's in TV, Cape Canaveral, and they're counting down, and they're sure the countdown, you know, they're counting down for like 4 hours, getting down to a point where they launch a rocket, okay? So what they don't show you are the things behind the scene. Like, for example, you remember the first man that went up in space? He went out and they came down in a parachute, landed someplace, I guess, off the Florida coast or something, okay? But they weren't exactly sure. So they had backups all over the entire Atlantic and Caribbean. Jamaica was the backup. And I was actually one of the backup persons. In case they came down near Jamaica, that was part of my job, is to do certain things in that backup system. So they don't show you all the backup system. They don't show you this strange man living in Jamaica, watching all this thing here and getting ready, hoping that an astronaut lands in Jamaica, right? They didn't show you that. They didn't show you the guy who went outside below the rocket, and there's a big fuse. He takes a box of matches and he lights the fuse. And when the fuse goes up, the rocket goes zoom and takes off, right? Right? Everything has a fuse. Everything has a fuse. Now, of course, in real life, they probably didn't use that kind of a fuse, but the electronic fuse, but still, it's a fuse that sets off the first thing that goes off, and then that lights everything else and explodes, right? So there's a fuse. So we're going to use that faith action plan. It's the fuse to launch your faith like a rocket, okay? Now, if that guy who went out to light the fuse on the big rocket at Cape Canaveral, if they had shown him on international TV, he might have been shy and embarrassed. I can't light this fuse in front of the whole world. Why? Well, you know, when I was at JPL, we did the programming for the telemetric systems, which means all the information that came back from the first Mariner and Venus shots came back through our systems. And we captured all that information and processed it. Now, what we did, I mean, I was just a kid then, doing whatever I was told, but I wrote the programs that control the gyros to keep this thing, you know, and I wrote the programs to help bring the data back. And so what they did was they took a computer and they stripped everything out the manufacturer had put in there. They started with a plain old computer, and we built the simplest operating system in the world. You know, when you launch Microsoft computers, you launch a computer, then you have lunch and come back, and by the time it's loaded. You know what I'm telling you? Right? That's all the operating system. They stripped the whole thing out. And what they had was a program that says, go from A, B, C, D down, all the way down. And when you get to the end, go back to the beginning and go over. That was it, a loop. The entire operating system was a simple, simple loop. Now A, if you want to use something, you stick your address in A. And when you say go to A, A says go to Walter. And then Walter has some work for it to do. No, the problem that is every person has to be good enough to send it back here or the whole mission comes to an end, okay? So that was the operating system. So it was so successful. The first shot past Mars had one of its famous dust storms. And the entire planet was covered in red dust. And so all the shots that came back, all you got was red dust. And my boss figured out for the first time in history how to use computer to remove all that stuff and save the mission. And out of that came all these things you see nowadays, like CAT scan and MRIs and all this, grew out of that. Okay? So Washington was so excited. They came all the way to JPL to see what these guys were doing. And we hear they're coming to see the computers and everything you guys are doing. Well, the computers are boxed like a refrigerator. So we couldn't show them that. So they took them in the big center with all the rows upon rows and acres of IBM computers that are processing payroll and financial information. So here are the computers. And they were so excited. Look at all those computers for this wonderful mission. We're getting our money's worth. And nobody ever saw that icebox computer in the back room. Okay? Let me tell you, that's an absolute true story. Absolute true story. Okay? So what happens is, this guy on TV is going to launch the rocket up in the air, and he's lighting the fuse. If they showed him on TV, he'd be so embarrassed. He'd be afraid that whoever would laugh, like you guys laugh, because you guys didn't know the man was there lighting a box of matches and lighting the fuse, right? You all thought it was something fancy. Well, why would he not launch it? Why would he not light the matches? Because on worldwide television, he would have been afraid to be embarrassed, afraid to be ridiculed, afraid of people seeing him. And that's what prevented the launch. What is preventing the launch of most Christians with a faith as a rocket wants to launch them into higher levels? One word, fear. Fear, okay? That's what we want to look at today. It's faith as a rocket. And for you and me to push the pedal down to the metal. So let's start by looking at some of God's power promises to you and me, right? Number one, nothing is impossible for God. We all agree that? Yeah. The only thing God can't do is break his word. God can't break his word. So if God has told you to do it, then he can't do it for you. Think of that. If God has said you do it, then he can't do it for you. For example, God has said you cast out demons. It's up to you to cast demons out of your house. You can sit there all day long praying, Lord, get the demons out of my house. It ain't going to happen. You need to tell them to go. And if you're afraid to do it, you start by telling fear to go. Fear, you go in Jesus' name. Because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. God has given you a spirit of power. God has given you a spirit of love. God has given you a sound mind. For you and I have the mind of Christ. And that's what we say. In the name of Jesus, I have a sound mind. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. So fear goes. Amen? Amen. Okay. So nothing is impossible to God, but God cannot break his word. That's the one thing that's impossible to him. Just in case people forgot, God has reminded us. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by your stretched out arm. And there's nothing too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for God. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what the devil is telling you, no matter what the doctor is telling you, nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. We expect to see people sitting in the beds when the nurses and doctors come in, sitting in the bed, normal, healthy, healed, whole, restored, waiting for the nurse. And the nurse is going to come in and says, what happened to all the equipment you're on? Where are all the IVs? Who took out the IVs? I said, God took it out and healed me. I don't need them anymore. Okay? Nothing is too hard for God. If you can believe it, if you can speak it, God can do it. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Okay? And he expects the answer, no, right? Okay. But the devil will tell you, yeah, things are too hard for you. God can't help you. Your sin is too great. Every sin has been paid for. Every mistake has been paid for. It's all covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are in perfect standing with God. God sees you as perfect, healthy, healed, and whole. And God wants you to see yourself that way and speak about yourself that way, which allows him to bring it into being. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Isn't that beautiful? Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. God is saying the words that I speak come to pass. Here is a whole book of the words he's spoken. They'll all come to pass in the lives of every person who believes it, speak it, and acts on it. I will say the word, and I will perform it. God is saying, whatever I said, I will perform it. Elsewhere says, and bring my word back to me so we may reason together. Okay? Bring my word back to me so I can ensure that it's done. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, that is, without power, without accomplishing anything. God says, my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Amen? God said it, it's going to do what God says. And we'll do it for you, for God doesn't play favorites. God is no respecter of persons. The only reason why it doesn't manifest in your life or in my life is that we are blocking it with our words and our actions. We're like the man who would not light the fuse on the rocket because he didn't want the whole world to see the fuse there. We're going to light the fuse, and we don't care who sees us lighting that fuse. We're going to launch our rocket off. Amen? Isaiah 46:11. I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. You don't have to bring it to pass. No matter how much you need it, no matter how much you deserve it, no matter how much you think you can't have it, God will bring it to pass. You don't need to bring it to pass. What you need to do is believe God's word and believe that God will do what he has promised. And let your words and your actions agree with it. Isaiah 46:11. I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Jeremiah 1:12. Said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I'll hasten my word to perform it. When we pray to God, God wants us to have the answers to our prayers as soon as possible. He'll hasten his word, so his word does what he's promised. In later parts of the series, we're going to talk about things that cause his word to be blocked. Things that slow the rocket off from being launched. Things that cause a fuse not to be lit. Fuse that prevent the pedal being pushed down to the metal, like the carpet. Carpet is a sign of comfort and luxury. And comfort and luxury can cause us not to push the pedal down to the metal. See? That's why the vibrant church is not in the United States. The vibrant church is really overseas. Because the carpet of civilization is not blocking them from pushing the pedal down to the metal. Am I making sense to you? But we can take that carpet out. You don't need a car with carpet. Right? Figuratively speaking, practically speaking, you don't either. Okay? But we get the carpet out of our lives so we can push the pedal down to the metal. How about Psalm 89:34? I love this one. My covenant will I not break. We have a covenant with God. Jesus is our blood brother. And a blood covenant, such as used to be common among Native Americans, and in just about every culture in the world, they would cut themselves and mingle their blood together. That makes them blood brothers. The blood brother is a closer relationship than your natural brother or sister. First of all, you didn't choose your natural brother or sister. You know, like mother's trying to break the news to her little boy, you know, says, you're going to have a sister. Says, son, you're going to have a sister. You thought about it. She's wondering, what is he going to say? He says, Mom, if it's all the same with you, could I just have a dog? See? Didn't understand. He's lacking some knowledge here, right? So he got a sister, okay? So the knowledge is that the blood brother, the blood relationship, is one you choose. Two is, it's a contract that's bounded by death. In the blood relationship, everything one person has belongs to the other. And if a blood brother breaks his contract, the penalty is death. Now, if you have a brother and your brother breaks his word to you, maybe you don't talk to him for a while, or switches toothpaste with hair cream, you know. But it's not, the penalty is not death. But in a blood covenant, the penalty is death. We have a blood relationship with God. A blood relationship through Jesus Christ. We're blood brothers with Jesus. That's the blood covenant. Now, in the blood covenant, everything that God has, everything that Jesus has, belongs to us. And that's what the Bible says elsewhere. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Isn't that true? And the Bible says everything that God has belongs to Jesus, and we are joined heirs with Jesus. So God has done his part. We are blood covenant with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So God says, everything I have belongs to you. Oh, but by the way, everything you have belongs to me. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says you're purchased with a price. You don't belong to yourself. No, you entered a blood covenant. You belong to God. Everything you own and have belongs to God. Now, what's the penalty for breaking the blood covenant? Death. What happens when we break the blood covenant with God? People die. How is that phrased in the Bible? The wages of sin is death. But God went so far, what he did then, he had Jesus take the wages of sin. He took all the sins and all the wages so that Jesus paid the price of the blood covenant in advance. So when we break the blood covenant, the price has already been paid for by Jesus. You follow what I'm saying here? That the blood covenant is so serious, the penalty for breaking it is death. And we all broke it. And we all should die. But Jesus loved us so much. He not only established a covenant, he paid the price of the failure, so he died for us. So the death part has been taken care of. Let's just focus on the obedience part. If your blood covenant is so important that the penalty is death, then why would we not try to keep the blood covenant, which is obedience to God, living for God? Because God has already kept his part of the covenant and given us everything. Everything that God has belongs to you and me. And God is saying, my covenant will I not break. Not just the blood covenant, but every single covenant he won't break. He keep up his part. He gave a covenant to Adam. He says, Adam, you have power and authority over all the world. All mankind has it. You have power and authority over everything. And prosperity should come to you every day. It's part of the covenant. And everything that's evil of the kingdom of man, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of animals, and kingdom of nature have to bow to that covenant so the challenges can't come up on you. We don't, of course, have power over other people, but we have power over the evil they may try to do. All that is in the Adamic covenant, which Jesus purchased back for us by dying for us to fulfill Jubilee. So we are actually living now in the Jubilee that the Bible talks about. Jubilee is not something in the future. Jubilee is now. You have been restored to everything that Adam had. And God says, I won't break that covenant. I'll not alter the word that went out of my mouth. And the word that went out of his mouth was, you have authority and dominion over everything that moves upon the earth. And then when Jesus came, he moved us into a new and better covenant. That's not Jubilee. That's a new covenant. The New Testament is a new and better covenant. It's not the fulfillment of Jubilee. For the blood brings us into a new and better covenant. Those are some of the power promises God has made. And we want to launch up to a place where those things become real to us, where we live them day in and day out. And the way we do that is by lighting the fuse on your faith. So faith as a rocket will propel you into living these promises every day, that we trust God and we believe him and we act as if we believe him, so that nothing that comes our way faces us, because we know God is there and God is your strength and your personal bravery and your invincible army. You cannot lose because you have an invincible army based on a blood covenant, and everything that God has belongs to you. You're joined heirs with Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes it clear, everything that God has belongs to Jesus. So nothing is impossible for God. We have no problem with that. But part two of that is, God wants you and me to know that nothing is impossible for you and for me, because he is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, what can withstand us? If God be for us, we can do anything. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. And in all these challenges of life, we are more than a conqueror. We are a super conqueror. That means nothing is impossible for you. If you can do it, you do it. If you can't do it, God will do it for you, as long as you speak it out of your mouth and you take your steps to show that you believe that God has promised it and will bring it to manifestation. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He built the rocket and he launched and powered the rocket. All you got to do is light the fuse for the rocket. And you light the fuse with your faith by believing and speaking. That's all we have to do. Is go out there in front of the glare of worldwide television. Take a little batch of beacon matches and light the fuse. And don't care that people think you're weird. Who's that little guy who thinks he's going to launch this huge rocket with a match? That's you and me. We can change the world with a match. A match of the word coming out of our mouth. If we don't let the fear prevent the rocket from being launched. Amen? Okay. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. God is trying to show you that nothing is impossible for you. Call unto me and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. What a promise. I love that promise. Call unto me and I'll answer you and show great and mighty things that you know not. God says, if you can think it, if you can imagine it, if you dare to ask it, I can do better than that. Wow, that's pretty bold. Because some of us here think real big. Isn't that true? We've got some big thinkers here. God says, I can do better than that. In fact, I can do way better. Super abundantly, above and beyond all you dare ask, hope, or think. Isaiah 42 verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. God is saying, at any point in time, the things I've done have been completed. We're moving forward. I want to move forward with you. And just as I went down to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he's saying to you and me, I'm going to do new things. Before I do them, I will tell you. Jesus said, it's mandatory that I leave you, because if I don't leave you, the Holy Spirit won't come. And the Holy Spirit in you is better than Jesus with you. For the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, for the Holy Spirit in you, he's your comforter. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. He'll guide you through every situation. What a promise of God. Well, Pastor Peter had a friend come to him, or an acquaintance, and he said, you know, I came to you before, and I asked you to pray about whether or not I should buy this hotel, which I did. I bought a hotel for $1 million or $2 million, okay? Bought this hotel for $1 or $2 million. Seemed like a good deal. Everything seems great. He spoke to Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter prayed and said, yeah, God said to buy it. So he went and bought it. Now, just because God says do something doesn't mean there won't be problems. You ever notice that? Because when you're doing something God wants you to do, the devil will try to stop it. But if you build your house up on solid rock, it won't make any difference. You will succeed. Well, this guy was a little bit shaken. He came back to Pastor Peter and says, here's what I found out. In this summer, the hotel does really good business. I made money during the summer. But comes winter, nobody shows up. I go most of the year with no visitors. And if this continues, I'm going to be bankrupt. So he says, can you pray? So Pastor Peter went out there and walked around the place. And they're talking about cutting costs and so forth. Whatever. Pastor Peter says, you get your water from the city. Yeah, it costs a lot of money. Yep. He says, dig a well right here. So the man went and he dug a well right there, thinking that the water is going to come out, replace all the water that they bank from the city, and save him a bunch of money. Well, they hit a spring. Hot water spring. And hot water came up. And they ended up turning the hotel into a hot water spa. And now they have visitors year-round. In 2 years, the man sold the place for like $10 million. Probably less than 2 years. Why? Because he hit the hot water spring. Why? Because Pastor Peter lit the fuse on the rocket. Faith as a rocket blasted off, dug a hole in the ground, and out spurted hot water spring. Faith as a rocket. And a rocket usually go up, but you can point a rocket anyway, anywhere you want about it. Faith as a rocket. This guy rocketed it from being a millionaire to being a multimillionaire. A wavering millionaire. To a rock solid multimillionaire. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Peace means shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. One translation says, to give you a hope and a future. God's thoughts are to give you a hope and a future. And let me tell you, God's thought about the future is not like yours and mine. You know, for the future, we think about, well, what are we going to do this weekend? Or if you're a long-range planner, hey, end of the month, have a day off. What are you going to do? And somebody who's really a long-range planner might think, well, what am I going to do over the next 10 years? But God is thinking, what are you going to do over the next 10 million years? You understand me? See, we can't even think about that. We can't even think of what are we going to do in the million-year period? And God has already written a book on it. Right? And they're saying, if you read this book, you get a blessing just for reading it. But people are afraid to read it because they think it's a book that's warning them about all the terrible things coming up on the earth, which it is. But that's not the purpose of the book. The purpose of the book is to tell them what's going to happen beyond the terrible things and the wonderful things that God is doing and why this whole system is being wrapped up, because in the book of Revelation, it tells you how it's coming into being and how it's being wrapped up. That God's words are coming into being, coming to pass. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And understand, the devil can't do anything to you unless man helps him. The devil has been defeated. No demon, no devil, no evil spirit can do anything to you unless they partner with a man. Does that sound like anybody else we know? Does that sound like God? God does nothing into your life, anybody's life, unless you partner with him. Even destroying the earth with a flood, he partnered with Noah. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:7 that Noah condemned the world. See, it's like you and I standing in a room. When I was a teenager, once I was bold enough to go with my friends, I went to a Catholic high school, only boys. But not far away, maybe a quarter mile away, was a Catholic girls' school. Since there's only one boys' school, we had both of them. So there's a dance over there. My friends are going. So I was going to tell them that I don't dance. So I went to the dance. And it was kind of strange. All the girls are lined up on one side. And all the boys are lined up on one side. And the whole dance floor was empty most of the time. And I'm thinking, I can see why. I mean, who wants to walk across this no man's land all the way across there? Everybody watching you to say, could you dance with me? What if the girl says no? The whole two schools are watching you. Who's going to do that? Nobody's going to do that, right? So not only the really good dancers did. So I watched it for a while, then I left, okay? But I went to a dance. Okay? You see how people get confused? Somebody says, I went to a dance. You think they were dancing? No, I wasn't dancing. No way. So, see, I didn't dance because of fear, right? So anyway, God is on your side. You don't have to be afraid of what man can do to you. It doesn't make any difference what it is. When we know that, see, the devil comes against us with thoughts of inferiority and guilt complexes, and this is too hard. He loves to tell you, this is impossible. And what you should do is say, yes, this is impossible for me, but not for God and not for God and me. See, in fact, you can laugh at the devil and say, yes, it's impossible. Isn't that wonderful? Because when I'm weak, God is strong. Amen? Because if it's impossible for me, that means God is going to help me do it. See, if you can do it, then you have to do it. God is not going to do it for you. If you can do it, you must do it. So next time the devil tells you it's impossible, you laugh and smile. I say, devil, you are right. You are so right. That is good news. It's impossible for me. For God is going to do it for me. And so what happens is, like all the boys from my high school, all the demons and devils are lined up at one side of the room. It's a room of life. On the other side, all the girls are lined up. So girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. So that's God. God's side is sugar and spice and everything nice. On the other side are the dogs and the puppy dog tails and all the stuff on that side. Okay? And they are lined up in the hallway of life. The hallway to the left. And you're walking on the center of the room. And two worlds are watching you. Not just two schools. But two worlds are watching you walk down the center of this room. And the angels are sitting there with their arms crossed, waiting what for? Psalm 103, verse 20. Waiting for the voicing of God's word. The angels are lying along the room with their hands like this, waiting for you to voice God's word. Psalm 103, verse 20. On the other side, the demons are over there, and they're not as polite. They'll run into the room and whisper something in your ear and run back. They have to run back. Unless you like what you hear. No, like means that you agree with it. Doesn't mean that you think it's joyful or nice or sugar or spice. You may know it's a puppy dog tail. Oh, that's a terrible expression. Whoa, that's a terrible expression. You may think it's something bad, but you agree with it. Yeah, the devil said it. That's true. The doctor said that I am sick. I don't like it, but I agree with that. The demon started to walk with you. And as we have in this body, see, I got onto the train here, okay? Actually, he's attached the rope to the rocket. And so he's there, and you're listening to him now because he tells you it's terrible. You can't do it, you know? And it says, and what happened? This is so bad, you're going to start feeling pain. And he called his buddy over. And the demon of pain runs over and stick you with a pain. And you say, that's right, I am feeling pain. Now you got two of them hooked onto the rocket. And you're walking down the hallway of life. And little by little, they're all coming and hooking onto your rocket. So it's hard to light the fuse to blast off. But that's true for you, it's true for everybody. So the Bible says, if God be for you, what do you have to fear for man? You don't have to be afraid of man. I know that all the demons, devil, and your spirit, they are defeated. They have to stay on their side of the room. They can only come in if you allow them. Or if they jump on another brother who likes them unknowingly, and he comes into the center of the room. He comes into your life. No, they have a right to be walking on the center of the room. They have a right to hook up to your rocket. So if God be for you, you don't have to be afraid of any man, nor anything that comes through man. And you never have to be afraid of demons, devils, and evil spirits because they have been defeated. The only reason why people have problems with demons, devils, and evil spirits is that they didn't know this before. They used to sin, and the demons came in and hooked up to their rocket, and there's all these cords attached to them. But you can get rid of them simply by every time you sin. Every time you sin, you say, Lord, I'm sorry for that sin. In Jesus' name, help me not to do it again. And in Jesus' name, I renounce all the demons and evil spirits behind the sin. Get out of my life. Take your hooks off my rocket. Get back to your side of the world. It's as simple as that. You keep doing that every time you sin, and little by little, they'll all go back to their side of the room. I forgot to mention to you, when I went to that dance, and all the girls were on one side, and all the boys on one side, what do you think was walking up and down the center? In reality, the nuns. The nuns are walking up and down the center. So not only do you have to cross no man's land in the middle of two schools, you got to go through the nuns. You never can tell what these nuns might do. Might stop you. Young man, what are your intentions? I just want to dance, ma'am. You follow what I'm telling you here? Been there, done that. See, here's another one, okay? So I'm telling you the truth, right? Okay. So on one side are all the angels of God waiting for you to ask them to dance. On the other side are all the demons telling you this terrible thing so you dance with them. Okay? But walking down the center with you is the Holy Spirit. And he's saying you have the mind of Christ. And any thought that comes to your head that belongs on that side of the room doesn't belong in the mind of Christ. But every thought that comes from this side belongs there. And you can decide with the Holy Spirit walking with you in the center of the room, telling you what is good and what is right. All you have to do is keep repenting of the sins that are coming from that side of the room. And so you don't have to be afraid of any man or of any demon or of any curse, because a curse cannot come up in you unless you give it an opening. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Mark 11:23. New scripture. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that whatever you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. God is saying there's power in your mouth. Whatever you say that you don't doubt will come to pass. That's the promise of God. And that's how you light the fuse to your rocket. By the words of your mouth, that lights the rocket. And your faith takes off as a rocket, pulling you to wherever you need to go, blasting down the mountains or whatever giants are in your way. Matthew 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you. If what? If you say it, and don't doubt in your heart. But see, every single person here, every single person hearing my voice believes that the Bible is the Word of God. You would not be hanging around ABC if you did not believe the Bible was the Word of God. You'd not be hanging around a fundamentalist Bible believer who thinks this is God's Word. So every person who's listening to me believes this is the Word of God. So in your heart, you know the Bible is the Word of God. So if you find the promise in the Bible, you know it's the Word of God. So in your heart, you know it's the Word of God. So in your heart, you know it's true. And your heart is where that Mark 11, 23 mountain moving faith comes from. Your heart is where the faith comes as a rocket out of your heart, not your head. Here's where people get confused. They're walking back and forth in the dance hall, and these thoughts are coming to their head. I know they didn't come to Michael's head, but they're coming to my head. The main thought coming to me was, get out of this place. Leave. Okay? So you're walking back and forth in the dance floor, and these demons are putting thoughts, sending thoughts, and the thoughts are hitting your mind. And they're all thoughts of fear. They're all based on fear. Fear of public speaking. Fear of sickness. Fear of cancer. Fear of embarrassment. Fear of dying. All these fears are hitting the people's mind. But that's okay. Because the power that launches the rocket is not in your mind. It's in your heart. And in your heart, you know it's true. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So what's coming to your mind is not important. It's what's coming to your heart. And in your heart, you know the Bible is true. In your heart, you know God has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In your heart, you know you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. All this is in your heart. In your heart, you know you can move mountains. So what makes the difference as to who you end up dancing with is what you say with your mouth. All the demons, devils, and evil spirits can be casting these fiery darts to you as you're walking down the dance hall of life, down the center. But if you never speak them, they can't come in to join you. You got to speak them. You got to act on it. Now, for example, most of the time it's speaking. That's why the Bible says, life and death are in the power of your tongue. So what you say is coming out of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So most of the time, it's what you say. But the demon is over there, says to you, oh, it's raining. And you bend down and pick up an umbrella and put it over your head. You've just spoken to the demon and says, I believe you. So when your actions match what the demons are saying, you're speaking to them in spiritual language saying, yes, I agree with you. So most of the time is what you say, but there's a part of the time where it's what you do. What you want to do is what the angels are saying, what God is saying, what the Bible is saying. So in your heart, you know this is the Word of God. You don't care what comes to your mind. My word, I remember back before God cleaned my mind was really a mess. It was terrible. But God, you know, took a toilet brush and cleaned my mouth and flushed it down the toilet. Okay? And now I have a mind of Christ. We all have the mind of Christ. But God wants us to live in the mind of Christ. How do we do that? By only speaking what the Bible says. So no matter what thought hits your mind, don't say it unless you know it matches the Bible. Because it's coming from the wrong side of the dance floor. And try not to act on the thoughts that contradict the Bible. Because then you're putting up a white flag. You're not saying anything, but you're putting up a white flag. And the white flag could be an umbrella. It could be saying, I'm going to stay home and not go to church today. It could be, depending on where your rocket is, what booster it is, what stage it is on. See, as your faith launches as a rocket, the things that impact it most depends on where the rocket is. So when it's just blasting up, starting to go up, the things that can go wrong are things that would prevent the blast, things that control the power, things that could create an explosion, things that could veer it off course. All these things are the important things. In other words, at the initial stage of launching your rocket, there are sins that we don't want to commit. But the sins at a higher level, we're not there yet, so they're not impacting us. They're still sins, we just don't know it. They're just not impacting us. Let's say a spaceship is coming back in. You know, one of the things it has to be concerned about is that it comes into the ear is heat. It gets hotter and hotter, right? No, when it's first going up, that's not the issue because it's not going fast enough. But as it comes back down and it's going faster and faster, then it has to be concerned about heat. So the sins that you have to be focused on depends on where your rocket is. And what booster stage your rocket is at. So, in launching your rocket, the main thing you want to avoid is saying anything that contradicts the Bible. All the challenges that are hitting your mind are not sins at this level. Now, once your rocket is way up there, these thoughts coming into your mind then become sins. Not because they're in your mind, but for different reasons. But as you're blasting off your rocket, ignore the thoughts that are coming to your mind. You get your rocket up and going. And how do you do that? Ignore the thoughts that are coming to your mind. Brother Hagin puts it in a wonderful way. He says, you can't prevent birds from flying over your head. Right? You go outside and a bird can fly over your head. But he says, you can prevent them from making a nest in your hair. Most people. Some of those women with the fancy hair do have a hard time, right? They may not even know that there's a bird in their hair, okay? Right? Sometimes you see this fancy hairdo and maybe a hat and there's a little bird in there, but it's not a real bird. It's a, you know, decoration, a decoration bird, right? Okay? Anyway, the point is, you can't prevent the birds making a nest in your hair. In other words, you can't prevent the thoughts hitting your mind, but you can prevent which ones you meditate on and which ones you speak. A thought unsaid is a thought that's dead. Don't speak it. Don't speak it. Don't contradict your prayers. Don't contradict your prayers with your words or with your actions. And your rocket will launch off. Amen? Mark 5:36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. See? Now, if I had known that, I wouldn't have left the dance. But I was afraid and I left the dance. As you walk through the dance hall of life, don't be afraid of the thoughts that are hitting your mind. Just don't speak them. Now, believe only. Believe only. The first thing is you must believe. When you see the promise of God, you must believe it. You have a choice of believing the Bible or believing, let's say, the doctors. You must believe the Bible. The first level of believing the Bible is called mental assent. You understand it and you agree. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. That's another way of saying launching your faith as a rocket. Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the first step is start to renew your mind. So renewing your mind starts with believing the Word of God in your mind. It's in the Bible. It's the Word of God. I believe it. At that point, the devils will attack you with spirits of doubt and spirits of unbelief will attack you. They will say things like, oh, you can't really believe that. I mean, the Bible was translated by man and man make mistakes. That's a common unbelief. Or two is, those scriptures weren't found in the original text, so you can't believe them. Or doubt. Yes, it's true, but it won't work for you because you're a sinner. So when you're trying to get that implanted in your mind to begin that transformation, when you're getting it implanted in your mind, it's like you're taking out the match and you're about to strike it. And the devil is saying, don't strike it because everything's going to blow up, including you. Doubt and unbelief. But once you got it implanted in your mind, that's mental assent. No, you need to transfer it down to your heart. And you transfer it down to your heart by saying, it's the Word of God and I believe the Word of God. And you keep it in your heart by speaking it and acting on it. So, you light the match, and the devil says, put the match out, you're going to blow yourself up. Okay? But if it's in your heart, you said, no, I trust the engineers who designed this. I trust them because I never saw their grades, and I think they all got A's. So I'm going to keep the match burning, I'm going to light this fuse. So you keep believing it. And then as you proceed to light the fuse, as you proceed to take action on what you're learning, as you proceed to speak it, it gets lodged into your heart and becomes heart faith. So the first step, when you hear the Word of God, doubt and unbelief will try to put it out. Scripture says in Mark 4, as soon as the Word of God is sown, the devil will come to steal it. Doubt and unbelief are great ways he tries to steal it. Once it gets into your heart, the next one that comes to take it out of your heart is fear. So if you're learning about healing and you believe it because it's the Word of God, it's in your heart, and now you start speaking it, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and you're taking small steps of faith to act as if you believe, then fear will come. And fear will come to take it out of your heart. Because the Word of God in your heart will cause your faith to be launched as a rocket and pull you up to where you want. So the devil has to counteract that faith, and he counteracts it through fear. And most common fear for healing will be the consequences. Oh, you keep believing God, look what's going to happen to you. Look at all the people who are greater Christian than you, and they love God, and they do these wonderful things, and they died. It'll tell you all the things that could go wrong. That's fear. But as soon as you sense fear coming, what you do is say, fear is a sin. I repent of that fear. In Jesus' name, I bind up the demon, devil, and evil spirit behind that fear, and I cast them out of my life. And you keep doing that, and they'll go. Because every time you do that, you're taking a sword in the spiritual realm, and you're sticking them in the spiritual realm with a sword. And nobody likes to be stuck with a sword at any point in time. So believing in your heart requires hearing and doing. The expression hear and do in the Old Testament was used 10 times. The precise expression. Okay? Hearken and do 14 times. Now it may have been used more times with a different combination of the words. So that's 24 times you're told to hear and do or hearken and do. Because that mental assent will only become heart faith and remain as heart faith if you hear and do. That's why going to church for 20 years doesn't help your faith. Going to church for 20 years helps your mental assent. But it doesn't help your faith because faith comes by hearing and doing. If you don't hear and do, you won't have heart faith. And your rocket will not be launched. So mental assent will help you build a rocket. But the launching of the rocket is your faith. Your faith as a rocket will take you where you want to go. Some scriptures. Deuteronomy 30 verse 12. This is talking about the word of God, right and wrong, the law of the Lord. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go to heaven for us to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. See, the word of God, we need to hear and do it. Scriptures go on to say, it's in your heart. In your heart, you know good and right and wrong. Exodus 15, 26. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his sight, there's a hearken and do, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healed thee. Now, it's true that Jesus took our curse and paid the price that when we make a mistake, it's been paid for. But the mistake slows you down, and the mistake can put you backward. So just because they're paid for doesn't mean we should continue doing them. You know, a lot of your teachers, if you have a student and you want the student to graduate, and the student took the first test and flunked, and you say, you know, by grace, I'm not going to count that F. So just forget it. Like you never got the test. Second test, they flunk again. He said, forget it. I'm going to throw away the F. It's like you never flunked. Like, okay? Going on to the third test. The entire semester, the person keeps flunking. Comes time for graduation, the person has flunked every test. Grace is not going to help them graduate. You need to pass something. Am I right? Okay. And that's what it is. Yeah, Jesus took the curse of the law. So when we make a mistake, grace has wiped it out. But that doesn't mean you should keep flunking the course. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do, it is hearken and do, all his commandments, which I command thee this day, then the Lord thy God will set thee in high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall chase you down and overtake you. Verse 2, okay? All the blessings will chase you down and overtake you. In other words, God is saying, this is really important, God is saying, don't chase the blessings. Don't chase the healing. Don't chase the money. Don't chase anything. Chase me, for I have already commanded blessings to chase you down. If you chase me, the blessings will come. Your job is to chase God. God's job is to make sure his word comes to pass, which is, I have already blessed you. Be sure you get that. Your job is to chase God, not chase the blessings. Faith is simply believing that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe it's the Word of God. And because we believe it's the Word of God, we do what it says. It's very simple. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. If you can latch onto that in your heart, the demons lined up along the wall can't get you off track with the thoughts that come to your head. Jesus put it this way. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, hear and do, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded upon a rock. This is going to sound hard, okay? It's going to sound hard. People build houses all the time and they buy houses all the time. You apply this to everybody, including yourselves. If your house is falling down, you didn't build it on solid rock. First, you need to build your house on the spiritually solid rock of Christ Jesus, and then build your physical house where God tells you to build it. Christians will go build a house, and after they build the house, and the storms that come, said, God, take care of my house. Well, it would have been a lot better if you'd asked God in the first place where to build your house. Understand what I'm saying? The word of God is true. Matthew 7:26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Again, what I'm trying to say is he's illustrating spiritual truths here. But the spiritual truths are there because they change the physical reality. It's because people feel these spiritual truths. It's because I used to feel them and learn why I was feeling them that I started doing it the other way around. I was chasing the blessings and not God. And then I started chasing God and started doing it His way, and then the blessings come. Understand what I'm saying? These things apply to physical reality. And everyone that hears these things of mine and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. The main house we're building is our life. And unless the Lord build the house, we're laboring in vain. And the life we're building will fall. The born-again believer is saved. But his life and what he's built will fall if he's not doing it led by the Holy Spirit. Luke 6:49. But he that hears and does them is like a man that without a foundation built his house. We all know how bad that is, right? Building a house without a foundation. So if you hear and does not do, you're building your house without a foundation. We build our foundation through faith action plans. Faith requires works. That's James 2:20. Faith requires you acting on the promise even before the circumstances change. The way you launch your faith as a rocket is to act on the word of God before the circumstances change. You act like you're healed before the doctor realizes it. It's because you believe you're healed and act like it, the doctor finally catches up with you. Christians are trying to catch up with the doctor. The doctor says, it's bad. So the Christians say, oh, it's bad. And when the doctor says it's good, they say, oh, it's good. It's the other way around. The doctor should be catching up with you. You're saying, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And the doctor says, I don't see that. You look sick. Just keep on looking. You're going to see it. Right? The doctor will catch up with you. So faith requires acting on the promise even before the circumstances change. Surprise of surprise, this is called walking by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. It's the walking by faith. It's the speaking faith. It's the doing faith that will launch your faith like a seed. It's your acting and speaking that will light the fuse that blasts off your faith like a rocket. Here's a wonderful example. God, for 430 years, had promised that the descendants of Abraham will be set free from slavery and take the promised land. So after 430 years, they're set free. For that 430 years, they were speaking faith. The Savior, okay, is going to come and deliver us. He's going to come and deliver us. 430 years, they kept saying it. Of course, they were complaining too, right? What's taking so long? Okay. Then they came the time for an action to go with their words. And they got together and they walked out. And they walked through all these terrible times. And 40 years later, they come to the promised land the second time. They have the faith to believe they can go over now. They go over into the promised land. And Moses doesn't come with them. So now they have a new leader. Promised land, new leader. What did God say to them? What wisdom? What pearl of great price did God give to them as they went into the promised land after 430 years? Here it is right here. Joshua 1 verse 3. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that's future. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, future tense. In other words, if the sole of your foot goes up on it in the future, that have I given to you in the past. In other words, I have given it to you, but it doesn't become yours until you put your foot on it. I've given it to you, but it's not yours until you ignore the circumstances, until you ignore all the fiery darts coming from all the demons lined up against the wall. And regardless of the circumstances, you take a step of faith on the promise. And then when you keep acting on the promise, when you keep speaking the promise, when you keep putting your foot on the promise, every time you put your foot on the promise, you're putting it on the devil's head. As you keep doing that, then the promise comes into being. And they did it for 7 years. For 7 years, they kept putting their foot and winning victories. And that's what God wants you and me to do. Okay? Now, that faith works by love. Faith works by love. We all know that. Love produces obedience. What is obedience? Hearing and doing. Because obeying, because we love God, we obey Him. Because we obey Him, we do what He says. And that's what it says in John 14. If you keep my commandments, then my Father will know that you love me. Keeping the commandments, hearing and doing, is love. It's the action of love. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. This is true for every person. God has set before us life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord. Okay? So loving the Lord produces life and good. Disobedience to God is not love, and it produces death and evil. To love your Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments. Why? Because that's the way of love. That's the way your faith as a rocket will launch. See, faith launches a rocket, but the rocket has to be full of fuel. And the fuel is love. See that? So faith will launch the rocket. Faith lights the fuse. You're acting and you're doing. Puts the match to the fuse. But the rocket has to be full of love. That you might live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless you. Verse 17. For if your heart turn away, so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods, I denounce you this day. Verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I call heaven and earth. What a serious promise. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, love or hate, faith or fear, all the same things, to record this day against you. Therefore, choose life, which means choose obedience, which means choose love, which means choose faith, which means launch your rocket, that you and your seed may live. So the main hindrance to fear, to faith, is fear. We talked about that before. The expression, the precise expression, fear not or fear ye not. Not very combination, do not be afraid, or in that they feared. None of those. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about specifically, particular words, fear not or fear ye not, occurs 63 times in the Bible. The exact expression. All the variations, I've been told, occurred 365 times. Number one, fear allows Satan on the scene. Fear allows Satan on the scene. Faith allows God on the scene. You're walking on the dance hall of life. Fear brings the demons to dance with you. Faith brings the angels to dance with you. It's your choice. Job said, the thing which I greatly feared, in Job 3:25, that which I greatly feared came upon me. But Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is God's power. Faith is you inviting God and His angels to walk through the dance hall of life with you. Faith is partnering with God. Fear is partnering with Satan. Joshua 1 verse 6. God is telling Joshua how to live a successful life. Joshua 1 verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 7. Only be very strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. In other words, for a believer to live a Christian life, for a believer to live a life that's pleasing to God, we need to be strong and courageous. For the world and everything in the world will try to tell you you're wrong, laugh at you, ridicule you, or try to stop you. It takes great courage and great faith, great strength to walk a Christian life. Joshua 1 verse 8. Verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, because you're always speaking the word of God, because you're always lighting your rocket. But you shall meditate therein day and night, to observe to do according to all that's written therein, because that's the love that's fueling the rocket. Then you shall make your way prosperous and have good success. And just at the closure, in case Joshua missed it the first few times, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. See that this one, be not afraid. That's not in my count of 63. Neither be thou dismayed. It's the same thing. That's not in my count either. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. God will go with you wherever you go. In fact, he doesn't have a choice because he lives inside you. Let's take him to holy places, for he's a holy God. Amen?